Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Delivered from fear. We have been delivered from fear. Let's go to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. Now we're just going to take our time in this. Fear not. Now that's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Fear not. 69 times. Be not afraid. 41 times. That's 110 times. Then 365 in the Bible in some form. That is a command of God. Stop the fear. In Luke chapter 8, I want you to notice something here. Verse 43. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Now, his garment. Jesus, being a rabbi, wore a rabbi's garment. And the hem of the prayer shawl. Now, there's a lot of things here that are very interesting. You remember when it said, and Paul made tents? That's what you call that prayer shawl. You make it a tent and pray. Just thought you might be interested in that. Anyway, so that garment was the hem of that prayer shawl that came out from under his top garment. Now, Jesus dressed very nicely. Not poor at all. You can find that right here in the 8th chapter of Luke. Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Now, this all began. Now remember, Capernaum, Jesus left Nazareth. Now it was prophesied that he would, but then he left Nazareth and set up his headquarters in Capernaum, right there at the shore of the Galilee. Very nice place. And when it was first excavated, they thought it was Peter's home because it was so big, and then they realized it belonged to Jesus. Now, the man that came, and his crazy friends took him up on the roof, that was in his house. Now, I thought that was a hostile crowd for years, but the Lord pointed out to me they were not. They had come from all around and filled that place up to hear him preach and teach. Now, and he said, cheer up! Can't you see? Your sins are forgiven you. Nobody said anything. They just thought it. This man blasphemes. Their religion got in the way. Who but God can forgive sins? They didn't say it, but he perceived it. He said, which is easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven? Arise, take up your bed and walk. Now, if you check out, he had most likely a stroke. So check out other translations, and particularly if you have a Blue Bible app, and check out the different translations. And most likely he had a stroke. He was paralyzed, was the problem. And Jesus said, take up your bed and go home. Now, I think it was Keith Moore that said he came there on the bed and the bed left on him. Why did they think that? It frightened them. It frightened them. But then they said, we have not seen such things. And they glorified God. They weren't hostile. They just didn't understand him yet. Praise God. So, now then, thank you, Lord. So, listen to that. Fear not. 69 times. Now, how many times does somebody have to say something to you to get it over to you? Be not afraid, 41 times. 365 times in the Bible in some form. Fear is not good. Now let's continue to read. Now, Jairus had come in. He was waiting for him. He had just been across the Galilee and delivered the madman of Gadara. Remember him? That left there called to preach. So we'll talk about him later in the week. And came right back across the Galilee, and they were all waiting for him. And Jairus, leader of the synagogue, was waiting on him. Fell down at his feet and said what he had to say. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, she'll live. He spoke his faith, and he never said another word. He didn't say anything. Now, the woman, now get this. Jesus got out of the boat. All that crowd was waiting on him. Jesus got out of the boat. Jairus walked up to him and said that. Jesus didn't even answer him. He just started towards his house. Somebody touched me. So it wasn't God that put him on the move. It was faith. First in Jairus. Then the woman stopped him. How do we know she'd been in that condition 12 years? How do we know many physicians? She told him. Now the whole crowd is standing around there, and Jairus is listening to her tell this whole story. Now Jairus, leader of the synagogue. Do you like little golden nuggets?
Yes.
Jairus, leader of the synagogue in Capernaum, which the centurion built. Remember that? And he recognized Jesus as a prophet. Then he was the centurion of that area. I would liken him to a garrison commander. He wasn't a general officer, but he was a centurion, which means he had at least 100 men under him. And so now we know his name is Cornelius. Thought you might be interested in that. Amen. And thank God he came. Thank you, Jesus. Then all the rest of us got in on account of him. Amen. So now you get the lay of the land. Jairus is there. Came a man named Jairus. He's ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. His only daughter, about 12 years of age, she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Then the woman. When the woman saw she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Your daughter's dead. So the death messenger came right in the middle of that. Now, what is Jairus about to do? Now, get the picture. They're jammed in there together. People trying to touch Jesus and get up there close. The death messenger came. When Jesus heard it, he answered him. At the report of death, fear not. I believe he said it something like this. That person came up there and spoke that to Jairus. Jesus was standing there and immediately turned to Jairus and said, Stop the fear. Believe only. Amen. You stop that fear. Don't you let that fear get to you. You believe only, she'll be made whole.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Woo. Look at it.
Hallelujah.
Look at it.
Glory.
Fear not. Believe only. She shall be made whole. Fear not. Fear not. It's magnificent.
It is.
It really says it all. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't know what I'm going to do about my business. Stop the fear.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You believe only. Your business will be made whole. Yeah, but you don't know what COVID did to us. So you're going to blame it on that little disease. Do you remember the New York doctor that treated President Trump? He's a Jew. He said, this is a synthetic virus. It's a synthetic virus. That's the reason it didn't quite follow the flu virus. Some people would get it without symptoms.
That's right.
So our first taste of biological warfare.
Right.
But now, wait a minute. The 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah said, every sickness and every disease not listed in this curse.
Glory.
Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that includes COVID-19. Now that's what you do in the supernatural. You lay hold. You take a stand. You take a stand against it. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is a book. Of course, it was written by the Apostle Paul. Couldn't have been anybody referring to Timothy and so forth. And it has all of the classic style of the Apostle Paul. And besides that, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and took him up before the throne of God, and he talked about a lot of things, he put his finger in the palm of both of his hands, and his hands began to burn. And he talked to him about special works and miracles, and praying for the sick and so forth. And so Brother Hagin asked him if the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He said, well, of course he did. He said something like, there was no one else qualified to write that book. Now, I mean, this man, anyway, that's the reason it is so important, such a powerful book. It has to do with life and death and blessing and cursing and all of the different aspects of this life. Now, in this second chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. He crowned him with glory. I want you to get hold of that. He crowned him with glory. Glory. Now, put yourself in the garden. God crowned him with glory. He was clothed from the inside out with the glory. He and his wife, her name was not originally Eve. It was Isha. His was Ish and she was Isha. And they glory. And when they sinned, the light went out and they were naked. Even though they had perfect bodies, compared to that glory, it looked bad. And it frightened them. And be aware of artists that paint those two with belly buttons. They don't know anything about the Bible. I've seen them now. And not too long ago, David Weider and I were looking at this gorgeous painting, and there they were, just shining for everybody to see. I looked at David, and he looked at me and rolled his eyes. Well, that wasn't any way I was going to say anything about it to the man that was taking us through, because it was beautiful artwork. But he needed a Bible. Anyway. He You made him a little lower than the angel, put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, in one place, a little lower than God. But a little lower than the angels. Listen, the devil is a fallen angel. And when the time came and Jesus yielded unto death, the devil thought he killed him, but he didn't. He was obedient unto death, but he couldn't keep him dead.
Glory.
Study it for yourself. He was in that place 3 days and three nights. And, you know, I know it. Traditionally, it starts on Friday, but it didn't. It started on Wednesday. But that's all right. That didn't change anything. We worship God the same way. But it is good to know how it worked. Because Jesus said, the Son of Man is as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. So it was a high Sabbath, and John brings that out, so it started on Wednesday night instead of Friday night. But there you have it. Anyway, now, let's look at this. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So death is the master fear. That's where it starts. It is the fear of death. And it is bondage. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you've got a lot to be afraid of. You better hope you don't die. But now, when Gloria and I accepted Jesus, both of us were scriptural illiterates. I said, Gloria, did you notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the same story? She said, isn't that wonderful? And I found out faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I also, my lightning fast mind figured out fear comes the same way. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the lies of the devil. And we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you can't taste it when you die. You can't smell it when you die. You can't see it when you die. And you can't hear it.
The spirit of faith comes from knowledge of God's Word and through prayer. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In this audio series, The Spirit of Faith, Kenneth Copeland shares how the Holy Spirit paints an image of the Word of God in the heart of every believer through revelation. Then, because of the reality of the Word in your heart, the force of faith is released by speaking God's Word out of your mouth. God releases His faith by speaking words, and He's called us to imitate Him. Words are the most important things in this planet. God purposely put creative power in words for His people to harness. That's why what you say matters. Simply, words of fear open the door to negative things, and words of faith in God brings goodness to your life. The good news is a spirit of faith will always overcome fear. Faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. Discover how to use your words mixed with the spirit of faith and see how every area of your life can change forever. Request your free copy of The Spirit of Faith by Kenneth Copeland, available on MP3. God released His faith by speaking words. Therefore, you release your faith in the words you speak. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes.
Hello, I'm Spencer Nordyke. These days, there are things constantly competing for your time and attention. You have to be intentional about what you read, watch, and listen to if you want to grow spiritually. Kenneth Copeland Ministries' website is a great resource to learn the Word of God. Brother Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. It's a place where you can study the Word of God, research scriptures, watch and read faith-based content, and all the help to develop your faith and live in victory. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been preaching and living by faith for 55 years, and they want you to experience the benefits of a victorious life of faith. Every day, you can increase your capacity to receive as your faith grows. Share the things you learn with your family and friends, and make KCM.org a part of your day to build your life on the sure foundation of God's Word. The Branson Victory Campaign starts this Thursday, April 7th, and goes through Saturday, April 9th, and you still have time to join us. Go to kcm.org/events for all the information. And join us again tomorrow, and until then, this is Spencer Nordyke reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.